also I just I never read this.
But you can listen through here.
Well,
and just check to see.
Yeah,
I mean you can hear. It'll
okay.
Anyway, so let's say they're having a meeting, blah 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 blah. If they if he calls in Eddie's or wants to take a break, this is
and you know it's in dancing because the numbers.
The numbers, right. And you also wanna make sure when you have that on side A, which is on at the direction of the arrow is going that way.
Where's the arrow?
Oh, there, right there.
I would
we'll certainly take a look at it.
Great, thank you.
I would. My analysis is that there are two provisions of the audit that spoke to enhancing the department's sanctions of uninsured businesses and the enforcement of that are the two things that I don't think are spoken to in the bill. I mean, there may be, there's other more generic things that we have on testimony, particularly from the Injured Workers Alliance, that suggests the audit says that the department's a administrative wreck that needs to be worked on, and we discussed that briefly with Mr. Grassi, who is claiming poverty, and I can appreciate that. But on the other hand, that's part of this whole process here. You know, there's Deputy Commissioner Perkins has got nothing in his pockets, inside out.
He hasn't.
Specifically for this hearing today, I'm sure.
Old suit.
Representative Rothberg, I have to agree with your statement earlier when you and Mr. Grassi were talking about it. I too, and I agree with Paul, I don't like businesses that don't carry workers' comp unless they have already been approved to be self-insured because, one, I can't compete with them on a legitimate basis. And I thought we had covered that a few years ago in another bill. And I come back down to having all the rules in the world, it isn't going to help us if we can't get them enforced.
Well, that's exactly the point. I'm not sure. We already have criminal sanctions, so I don't think the legislature needs to act. And I disagree with the audit in that regard.
I think we've tried to do that. We tried to have criminal sanctions on fraud, and we've had a very difficult time getting the enforcement I know you feel is necessary, and all of us, including management and labor, both feel is necessary, both against fraudulent claims by employees and fraudulent denials by employers. And it's something I don't know that any more language is going to assist us any further than our fraud bill.
No, I think that House Bill 378, which was to change the entire fee structure and the premium tax of workers' compensation insurance in the state of Alaska, which passed out of this committee earlier this year, is intended to provide additional funding for the Division of Workers' Compensation so they can enforce, take a more vigorous role in enforcing the law.
We are very much in favor of that.
I support that, and I think that this committee and the legislature supports that, and it will bring more people under that and hopefully give the division more firepower and be able to retain people to enforce the law, particularly as it relates to the uninsured employer who is doing great damage to the workforce of the state. Also, I'd point out that there should be a letter that was circulated to everybody. Hopefully it's in the files. In the file, this is, yeah, right. It was a letter from to Mr. Paul Grassi dated February 2, 2000, from the National Council on Compensation Insurance, where the estimate of the impact of the premium changes on businesses would be between 7.7% and 8.9% of the premiums in this state. Just want to bring that to your attention. And for those people down line, I have a list of people that are observing. Some folks wanted to testify. This was an invitation-only hearing. And I believe everyone that I can see on the list, in my recollection, I may be missing a couple, have testified previously. This bill will be getting a hearing in the House Judiciary Committee and as well as the House Finance Committee. And I advise those folks that wish to testify further to contact your legislators and I'll be contacting a few of you to make sure that we have the information necessary. All the members have been provided with all the letters, faxes, and other testimony that we've received from various folks. We've received a significant amount of it. And with that, there is, does anybody else have any questions or statements on the bill? There's a couple of amendments I'd like to have considered that are part of your packet, G1 and G2. Ms. Sykes, you want to come up here and tell us about G1?
Yeah.
Make sure, does everybody have copies? Can they find them in their packets of G1 and G2?
I haven't got anything in numbers.
Well, your amendments. Are you doing any of these?
Sure, you didn't want to pull in here. Here are called G1 and G2. Actually, this is call us the Sykes Amendment.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, my name is Janet Sykes. I'm staff to Representative Roachberg. G1 amendment just says that the only information the adjuster can ask for when you first file your request for benefits and they send you this form that says we need releases for this is the information applicable to the employee's injury. I need that back though so I can take my notes on it.
Okay, thank you. I'm still looking.
Currently, the adjusters will send you a broad form release, or at least one of the adjusters I can state for sure, wanting to know everything from your student educational records to your employee history, any military service, your entire medical history.
Do we have to move amendment?
Jet. She's just explaining.
No, we're just explaining it right now.
Without?
And Mr. Chairman, this would just put some sidebars on that.
Sidebars. So they
doesn't interfere with the ability to request additional releases.
Chair, entertain a motion on amendment number G1 to be marked amendment number 1. Representative Harris.
I move amendment number 1, or number G1, G.1.
As 1.
As number 1.
Are there any objections to amendment number 1?
Objection, yeah. just for a question. Just for a question.
Yes. Sure. Representative Harper.
Thank you. That is not applicable to the employee's injury. What about investigative questions like have you been drinking, have you done drugs, those kinds of things?
It's applicable in there.
Is that in
there?
What?
Mr. Chairman, that would probably be applicable to the employee's
would
injury if
okay.
The employer had reason to suspect that.
We'll take a look at this and keep looking at it as it progresses.
Okay.
Putting it out
then
there.
I withdraw my objection.
This is like you're going for a fishing expedition. If you bump your toe here, you got to give your whole life's history. It's kind of a joke.
Got it.
That's the intention, and we'll get some feedback from the industry after we adopt this thing. Is it? No objections? No further objections? So adopted. We have amendment G.2. We heard from Mr. Dick Block, who's online, but we've heard from him already, regarding the the religious non-medical treatment. This is primarily for Christian Scientists. This is amendment G.2 to be marked as committee amendment number 2. Chair to entertain a motion for amendment number
Chairman,
2.
Chairman,
Representative Harris.
I move amendment number 2, G.2 as number 2.
Are there any objections? Seeing none, so ordered. What's the will of the committee? Representative Halcrow.
Mr. Chairman, I move House Bill number 419 as amended out of committee with individual recommendations in the attached fiscal note.
Notes.
Notes.
I've got one.
There's three of them, Mr. Chairman.
There's three fiscal notes. Excellent.
The attached three fiscal notes.
Excellent motion. Are there any objections to moving the bill? Seeing none, thank you very much. And the Labor and Commerce Committee is adjourned at 5:15. Let's sign it, folks. Thanks very much for...
Thank you.